From NPR News, it's Weekends on All Things Considered. I'm Guy Raz. At some point today, you'll probably flip on a light switch. I'll do it right now. Now, that simple act, flipping that light switch, it connects you to the oldest and most plentiful source of American electricity. Since the early 1880s, when Edison and Tesla pioneered the distribution of electrical power into our homes, most of that power has come from the process of burning coal. But something started to change about 4 years ago. First it was slow, and then, this past month, that change became dramatic. Just 4 years ago, coal was still king. In that light switch or your blender or your TV set, coal powered half of it. But today, coal's share of U.S. electricity is down to a third, and it's falling. Today and tomorrow on the program, we're going to take a closer look at what's killing king coal and what that might mean for the economy and the environment. Our story begins smack in the middle of West Virginia, Webster County, population 9,000. Webster Springs is the county seat here. It's a small town built around an historic courthouse. Right in front, the symbol of what built this county, a huge slab of shiny black coal. We came to Webster County because last month, Arch Coal, the operator of one of the biggest mines here, announced a round of devastating layoffs. One of our stops was at the office of Webster County's newspaper, The Echo, where we met up with Thomas Clark, the publisher and a mine inspector for the past four decades.
Well, I think in the last 6 months, it's just been a landslide.
In the past few months, Arch Coal has announced more than 1,300 layoffs in West Virginia and Kentucky alone. Between the other big players in Central Appalachia, Consol, Patriot, Alpha, thousands more have been lost. And this past week, Patriot filed for bankruptcy protection.
I mean, I've never seen anything as quick as this to devastate the market and this many layoffs at one time. This thing just, bam, it was here.
A few miles from Webster Springs, outside the town of Cowan, West Virginia, stands a massive steel hopper. It is now silent, almost like an abandoned roller coaster. Just a few weeks ago, this hopper was humming. It was humming with the sound of thousands of tons of black coal coming down from the Eastern Complex mine right on top of the mountain above.
For 17 years, it was work all you want to work. I mean, you're looking at one here. I work 7 days a week. I work Sundays. Overtime, more the merrier.
For almost two decades, Rich Lewis worked as a miner on this mountain.
We was shipping anywhere from 30 to 34, 35 trains a month. Well, in the last year and a half, it went down to probably 20 trains a month.
But today, there are no trains to collect the coal, and they won't be coming back here ever. A few weeks ago, Arch Coal gathered all 170 employees of this mine to make a grave announcement.
Our superintendent told us that right now, the coal that we're selling, they was getting $56 a ton. With all the equipment we're running up there, it's costing $70 to mine it.
Everyone, including Rich Lewis, would be laid off. And today, of the three mines in Webster County, just one is still operating.
Turn some lights on.
Should we take our shoes off?
No, you're fine.
About 3 miles down the road from the Eastern Complex mine, 37-year-old Todd Bragg shows us around his house. Out back, his kids are playing basketball. Todd Bragg started mining at age 19, and he's known Rich Lewis since they were kids in grade school. Coal has been very good to them. The median family income in Webster County is $25,000. Up until a few weeks ago, before he was laid off by Arch Coal, Todd Bragg was pulling in more than twice that amount.
It helped me survive. Paid for these, my family, everything.
So it was a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
When we met up with Todd a few weeks ago, the announcement was still sinking in.
It's a shock to everybody. I mean, it's, what are we going to do? You know, and you ask your friend, what are you going to do? Me and Rich was talking today, what are you going to do? I mean, it's up in the air.
But still, Todd and Rich are grateful. Arch Coal gave them 2 months severance and will cover their health insurance until Thanksgiving. If you're looking for the best biscuits in Webster County and some good local intel, head over to the Hilltop Diner in Cowan. The regular breakfast crew is here, downing mugs of strong coffee and lapping up plates of thick bacon and homemade potatoes. Ask any of them the reason for coal's precipitous decline here, the answer is unequivocal.
President Obama's a lot of the problem because he's against coal. He wants to shut down all coal-powered power plants, and they'll eventually get it done. EPA is the big problem around here.
Back in March, the EPA announced standards that require all new coal-fired electricity plants to cut carbon emissions by half. it's an expensive proposition, and it's leading many power companies to back away from coal. But to get to the heart of what's really killing coal, you have to travel south from Webster County, about 500 miles, to Atlanta, Georgia. This is one of Georgia Power Company's newest plants in metro Atlanta.
Output of two gas turbines and one steam turbine.
The plant manager, Tony Tremonti, is duly proud of it.
840 megawatts. That's enough energy to supply about 250,000 homes.
Railroad tracks used to lead right up to this facility. Every 2 days, a 100-car train would pull up filled with coal.
And we consumed about 5,000 tons of coal a day.
Today, those railroad tracks are gone, dismantled. The old coal turbines, mothballed. Georgia Power, like a growing number of power companies, is ditching coal and switching to natural gas. Tony Tremonti explains one reason why.
Overall, the air quality improvement is dramatic. There's a 100% reduction in mercury emissions, a 50% reduction in the rate of carbon dioxide production, a 99% reduction in sulfur dioxide, and about a 90% reduction in nitrous oxides, with a plant that's now five times larger than the one it replaces.
The bigger reason, though, is simpler. Money. 4 years ago, electricity generated by gas was twice as expensive as coal. Today, gas is less than half the price of coal.
And what that means is literally natural gas is going to kill more coal-fired power plants than the EPA regulations.
That's Michael Zenker, a coal analyst for Barclays. In 2012, he explains, a perfect storm of sorts took place that sent coal down a deep spiral. An unseasonably warm winter, for starters. Also, a significant reduction in electricity demand because of the economy, and most importantly, technological advances that have brought cheap and abundant natural gas. Much of this is due to hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. That's the controversial process by which gas can be extracted by drilling deep into rock formations. A decade ago, no American gas was produced this way. Today, about a third of all our gas is now the product of fracking. And last month, for the first time in U.S. history, natural gas generated as much electricity as coal.
We could see coal down at 15 or 20% of electric supply over the next decade. That would be a huge change in an industry that historically has relied on coal for 50% or more of the total electric supply.
That's David Victor, a fossil fuel expert at UC San Diego. Think about this for a moment. In 1988, coal generated almost 60% of America's electricity. Today, it's hovering at around half the amount, the lowest since the government started recording that statistic. Now, there have been times when coal's demise has been prematurely predicted, notably in the 1980s. But the U.S. is still a coal powerhouse, often called the Saudi Arabia of coal. This time, though, says David Victor, it's different.
We were talking about the death of coal in the 80s, but coal was half of the electric power supply and didn't change very much. Now we're talking about maybe not death, but terminal illness for coal in the advanced industrialized countries, and it's actually happening.
As for places like Webster County, the consequences are real. Todd Bragg and Rich Lewis, who we met earlier in the story, are considering taking jobs at a mine in Grafton, West Virginia, about 100 miles away. The owners of that mine say it'll produce coal for the next 30 years, but with higher costs and declining revenue, that promise is a big question mark. But either way, for Todd Bragg, it could mean the difference between unemployment and a few more years of security.
That'll be close to retirement age.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, if it lasts.
Right.
With the gas the way it is now, you don't know what's going to happen.
The other consequence of the natural gas boom is an unintended one. As UCSD's David Victor points out, since 2006, the amount of carbon emissions the U.S. produces has fallen by almost 8%, the most significant carbon reduction in the world.
You put all that together, and the shift from coal to natural gas has reduced U.S. emissions of carbon dioxide by 400 to 500 million tons of carbon dioxide per year. And to put that number in perspective, that number is on the order of twice the total effect of the Kyoto Protocol on the rest of the world.
David Victor says this is still not enough to slow down climate change, and with fracking comes other environmental problems. Tomorrow on the program, we'll explore that side of the natural gas revolution in more depth.
We need to watch out for the environmental side effects of the gas revolution. There have been some wells that have led to small earthquakes, local water pollution, There are air pollution concerns associated with fracking as well, and so we need to find ways to address those.
Coming up on the program, forget about Disney World or Hawaii or Cape Cod. Next time you want a vacation, beat the crowds at Myrtle Beach and do what writer Andrew Blackwell did. Visit sunny Chernobyl.
The world thinks of Chernobyl as a place where humankind had overwhelmed and destroyed nature. The phrase dead zone still gets tossed around. But this was nowhere more obviously untrue than here, watching the sunset.
Watching sunsets and finding solace in Chernobyl and other polluted places. That's later on All Things Considered from NPR News.